Happy Friday. We're on the doorstep of the weekend. It's an Apache Friday where we celebrate and on the cusp of a couple of days off. And actually, for us, 3 days off. We'll be off on Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So if you got some thoughts on Grande Wildcard Weekend, you can hear all the games on the team starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Broncos coaching search. I understand the text line is not functioning because I've had some folks text me personally. So we may have to end up going to the telephone. I'll let you know, though, when we do this. We're not going to do it right now.
We're going to try to make sure that the text line is working.
Right. We're going to give it a shot, see if we can get it going here to have a winner for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen. So if we can't get that resolved soon, we'll probably give you a chance to call in and win. All right. So text or call us today. Give it another shot. See if it works. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Jim along with Cake today. We'll have our picks coming up in just a little bit. But to start out the 9 o'clock hour, we're joined right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line by former Mesa College baseball coach, Byron Wehe. Byron, it's a pleasure. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Well, first off, congratulations, well-deserved and I think long overdue, to be part of the Colorado Dugout Club's Hall of Fame. You'll go in to that class coming up here on the 22nd at the Denver Marriott Tech Center. But just your reaction to getting into the Colorado Dugout Club's Hall of Fame, where I know we've had Ray McLennan go in there recently, Joe White, who pitched for you, will be going in with you as well. And so this has to be just an exciting moment in terms of your being acknowledged for what an outstanding coach you were during your college career.
Well, thanks for those great words there. I think, it was a surprise. We were not anticipating it. But it's nice to be thought of that way. I think the biggest thing about it is going back, I get to see a lot of old coaches, ex-players. I used to go to the clinic about every year when I was coaching, and not just a pizza, but after that with some high school teams and coaches. And so it'll be fun to go back. It's a great experience. Young coaches to go and see the clinic and then go to the Hall of Fame banquet.
Byron Wehe, former Mesa College baseball coach, joining us, the third longest tenure coach in Maverick baseball history. Chris Hanks holds that distinction with 23 years at the helm of the Maverick baseball program. Bus Bergman, who preceded you, Byron, with 21 years. And the fact that you were able to maintain the success of Bus Bergman and eventually, of course, Chris Hanks, when Joe Giratano left, took over the reins after you stepped down. But to get the team to the NAIA postseason pretty much every year that you were the coach there speaks to the level of consistency that you're able to maintain as the Maverick skipper.
Well, the one thing that we were able to do is we could recruit good players. We had a great facility to play in. I had some really good coaches, good boosters, people that were really into making us successful. And, your whole program is based on the ability to get quality players in. And I think all those times we were conference champions and district champions and went to the playoffs, those are all good memories and everything. But I think the biggest thing is having a relationship with these guys that over 500 kids, and I say kids, they're not kids anymore, but over 500 of them that dedicated themselves to the Maverick program. And, coaches don't get these kinds of honors unless you have quality people that are playing for you and quality coaches that are helping you coach them. So I think the biggest thing that I enjoyed about it was after you're done and time passes, you see all these guys, particularly the ones that are around the Grand Valley that were former players, and see them out into the public with supporting really good jobs and being successful. That's what's important to me.
Byron Weehee, former Maverick baseball coach, will go into the Colorado Dugout Club Hall of Fame on January 22nd, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And you had so many great players, and it's hard to list off all of them, Byron, but I'm sure a name that for many of us that have followed Maverick baseball for a long time, name that immediately jumps out is Randy Reddy, who continues to coach at in the minor league level. Randy played professionally at the major league level. I believe spent some time in Japan as well, playing professional baseball there, and racked up a bunch of different records when he played for you. And just talk about Randy Reddy a little bit, because he's one of those guys you can be. You had produced a lot of major league players out of the program during your time there, but Randy Reddy was one of the really special ones.
Well, he was, and he was kind of an enigma in the fact that he was, when he did play here his last season, he was hitting .519, leading the nation in hitting, and we were going into the final weekend of our district conference tournament. And the coaches and I were together thinking, I don't think he can maintain that consistency. He's got to have a slump, and it's just going to come at the wrong time. And lo and behold, he went like 4-for-5 and raised his batting average to .522 and ended up that year leading the nation in hitting, and then was signed by the Milwaukee Brewers, and the rest is history. I enjoy talking with him, and one of the things that I make him do is he comes back. I work and coach at the Monument Little League, and I bring him back to be a guest speaker to our young coaches that are learning the game. And he does an outstanding job as a clinician. And I just ended up talking to him the other night. Always a good person to be around baseball-wise.
Former Mesa baseball coach Byron Weehee joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Byron, along with his former pitcher Joe White, will go into the Colorado Dugout Club Hall of Fame on January 22nd. Byron, during his time there, 28 players that went on to play professional baseball, 12 NAIA All-Americans coming out of the Maverick program during Byron Weehee's tenure. And you mentioned that you moved back to town a couple of years ago, and you've been coaching your grandson's Little League team, been working over at Monument Little League. And that's, look, coaches, you just can't get out of your blood, right? I mean, especially when you got a grandchild involved, and you got to get out there. And I think the fact that you're helping young coaches learn from a guy like Randy Reddy and yourself, that's huge. I think that's incredible, Byron, the way you're giving back and helping some of those young coaches learn the right drills, the right practices, the right approach to coaching some of the young talent.
Well, one of the areas that I'm going to talk about in my speech at the induction is that these high school coaches, college coaches, it's our responsibility to get back to the game. And I think we're at a time where baseball, there's so many different sports that are coming to light, and baseball participation at the youth level is decreasing. And I think these coaches have to get out and do some mentoring to young coaches, as well as provide opportunities for them to learn basic fundamentals and not leave them to the internet to learn the game of baseball.
Byron Weehee joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I do want to talk about your career as a player, because you're a Colorado guy through and through. You played for Durango down the Four Corners area and started playing baseball when you were a little guy, about the same age when I started playing baseball, Byron. At the age of 8, you were an all-league pitcher at Durango. I had a great game against Delta, where you struck out 19 in that game before you went on to play at Adams State, played baseball and basketball for now the Grizzlies, the Indians back in the day. But take us through your prep career a little bit, and that the path that took you to Adams State to play, to be a two-sport athlete, which is nowadays almost practically unheard of at the college level?
Well, I was lucky. I had some really good coaches when I was young, and I was surrounded by a lot of good, dedicated players, and that's all we did. You know, we'd play a baseball game at 10 o'clock in the morning in the summertime in youth baseball, and we'd go home in the afternoon and get the guys together and play another 2 or 3 hours. And that's just the way it was back then. And fortunately, in high school, we had an excellent team and really good players in high school. But I think our notoriety came when we were playing Legion ball in the summertime. And being from a small town, to get to the state playoffs, Legion championship, we had to go through about 6 different tournaments and different cities, and ended up going to the state championship game against Aurora Hinckley, and that was something that we'll never forget. I was lucky enough to be the MVP of the tournament, but those are great memories. But the big thing is the guys that I played with. I've had a couple calls from former players that I played with back in high school and congratulating me, and that's nice. The two other people that are going into the Hall of Fame, Joe White, I was mentored by his dad, Willie White, my first years out of college, coaching baseball in Littleton. And then knew Joe when he was about 6 years old and ended up recruiting him. And the rest is history. He's an all-conference player and signed with the Mariners and won a couple state championships at Thunder Ridge. But I was lucky in the fact that when I was playing high school and playing against Delta, I had a really good game pitching-wise. And the president of the college, which is was a real sports pro sports person, happened to be at the game, but he was there recruiting a president, if you can believe this, is recruiting band members to build the band up. And happened to see the game, and after the game, offered me a scholarship. And so I ended up playing basketball and baseball for 4 years, and we had very good teams, and it was a great experience.
You would never hear that happening today. A university president,
no,
at a game, recruiting band members to start a band. You put together your best prep performance ever on the mound, 19 strikeouts, and he says, "Hey, how'd you like to come to Alamosa?" I mean, that would never happen these days, where John Marshall, Mesa's president, would be somewhere and offer a scholarship to somebody. I just think that's, you know, times have changed, but that was some of the neat stories and the amazing things back in that day. And fortunately, right place, right time, him being there and you having that kind of performance, Byron.
Yeah, that's true. And don't count John Marshall out in doing that, because I've seen him at Monument Little League
Washington. Oh.
Down the sidewalks there, wanting to know what field his little one's going to play on. So I'm going to corral him sometime at the park and talk baseball. And I know that he'll support baseball and all sports at Mesa like they have. And you talked a little bit earlier about Buss Bergman. It was kind of the evolution of the programs at Mesa, and the fact that we went from a junior college, a very successful junior college in baseball, and then I was lucky enough, Buss recruited me also out of high school to play baseball, but I was a little bit crazy and wanted to play basketball too, and should have just went the baseball route. But anyway, when Buss was getting ready to retire, I visited Mesa and talked to him. And that's when Wayne Nelson hired me to come from the Denver area to be an assistant football coach and assistant basketball. and then coach baseball. And I just barely made it, didn't go to the psych ward for spending coaching those three sports for two or three years. And then after that, was able to coach just baseball, and that's about all I could handle.
Now, see, you joined Buss and the staff. What was, did you coach Jamie Hamilton? Was Jamie, you were there when you started with Buss?
Yeah, Jamie ended his junior college year with Buss. I had to turn around and recruit those kids that were getting out of junior college to stay at Mesa, and Jamie was one of those. And then one of his best friends growing up in high school was Rich Colfinari, and Rich was my first recruit to Mesa. And Jamie played for me, ended up being an all-conference player and signed a professional contract with the California Angels. And Jamie still holds the minor league record for playing all positions in one game. And that's that record's probably been there for 15, 20 years, maybe longer. But Jamie came back and coached after he finished his pro career and did a super job. And now, you know, he's kind of Mr. Baseball in town here with the JUCO and all that. And I get all these guys. I've already talked to Jamie about coming and doing our coaches clinic for Monument Little League. It really is nice for him to do those kinds of things and give back to baseball. You always expect these guys to be doing the things with the advanced high school players or, you know, young junior college players. But to get them back and talk to coaches that have 8-9-year-old kids just beginning their career is a super experience.
Well, and I think it's just remarkable that you have such a love of baseball, Byron. You're still giving of that knowledge to little league players and coaches. And I just think, like you said, coaches never stop coaching, right? Even when you're not maybe coaching college baseball anymore, you're still out there doing some great work and developing young coaches, and I think that's fantastic. I do also want to mention the role you play in the Mile High Intercollegiate Baseball League that you put together over in Denver, because that played a big role in giving college players a chance to get some extra time on the mound and out in the field with that league.
I think I stopped coaching at Mesa. I decided to jump out of the frying pan and get in the fire, and I became a high school principal. And I was in that role for about 7 or 8 years, but still being pretty close to baseball. And after I retired from the principalship, John Barnes, who was the head coach at the University of Southern Colorado and UNC, he and I got together with a couple other baseball people and started the Mile High Collegiate League. And we still wanted to coach, so we started the league so we could coach. And he coached the Greeley Grays, and I coached the Generals. But we ended up getting about 9 teams and trying to be an administrator with 9 teams and coach. My wife would say, you know, I thought you were retired, and I was doing more with the Mile High League than I was at Mesa. And so it was a great experience, and we got it going, and it's still going to this day. They have a new leadership, but they're still getting 8 to 10 teams, and we had kids come back with a little bit like the Grand Junction team that Sam Saplesio had. And we had kids from San Diego. It was kind of nice because I had a lot of former players at that time that were out as junior college coaches and D1 coaches and I could make some phone calls and get those guys to bring their kids back to Denver and play on in the Mile High League. And so, it was a lot of fun. And but it was pretty tiring. And you know, you get kind of baseballed out after a while, but you never lose sight of what you're trying to do. And if I didn't do the Mighty Little League and work on the fields and coach Little League teams, I don't know what I'd be doing, but probably not have a very long life.
And I'm sure your wife would say, aren't you going to go do something? Don't you have a team you can go coach? You'd probably say, get out of here. Go work with some kids. Go out there. She'd probably tell you that, right?
That's for sure. You know, you can only do so much around the house. But, you know, if I didn't do this, I'd probably be taking naps and watching soap operas. But I got to be doing something in baseball. You know, if you have a passion for it, it's the best thing. It's therapeutic, and I enjoy what we're doing.
Well, enjoyed your time coaching the Mavericks. And, look, I want to thank you and guys like Bob Cortese and Doug Skockel and Bud Smock, guys that when I was at Mesa starting out in this business that I got to interview on a regular basis of giving me that opportunity to learn the do's and don'ts in talking to coaches. And so I always appreciated that as a young broadcaster, young student at Mesa, to get the chance to talk with you and the other coaches, and learned a lot in terms of interacting with coaches and dealing with it from a media standpoint. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Best of luck, of course, with Monument Little League and what you're doing there. Glad to have you back on this side of the hill. And congratulations once again, Byron, on going into the Colorado Dugout Club's Hall of Fame along with Joe White. Joe's a guy that I've known for a very long time, and thrilled for Joe to get that chance to go in. He didn't last year because of the COVID circumstances. But enjoy. Soak it all in. And, Byron, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Byron Wiehe, former Maverick baseball coach, joining us in the program. We'll have that up on the website probably around 10:30 this morning. So if you wanted to catch more of it, and like I said, Byron was a guy that I learned a lot from, and Bob Cortese as well, and others that a quick story, and it's actually a story. It's on the Davis and Beadle podcast too. You can find that at our website, theteam1340.com, because we talk about it. Beadle and I do about Byron going into the Dugout Club Hall of Fame. That one fall, there were several Mesa baseball players that were ineligible. So I, working for the Crite and also worked for the college radio station, I wrote a story about it. There was like about 12 players who are ineligible. It was a little bit clickbaity. 12 Maverick baseball players out because they're ineligible. And Byron, I go to talk to Byron about something. He's like, wait a minute. Yeah, they're ineligible right now, but this is fall. We're through with fall ball. They'll get their grades up. They'll be fine by the time we start the season in the spring. It's like that's a bit misleading. And the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah, that probably is. And that was one of those really good lessons that I learned from my time at Mesa as a student there, of interviewing coaches and having that interaction of, yeah, okay, I wanted to get the scoop. I wanted to get the story.
Right.
And while it was true to a degree, the ramifications long term were not that big of a deal.
No.
And so I got my scoop, but was it really worth that? Because it
at long what term, cost?
Yeah, long term. And Byron was fine. Byron was great. He was like, look, you know, that's, yes, you're right about it, but long term, it's not really going to have an impact on what we're doing.
No.
And I learned a lot from that experience with him and others, talking to Bob Cortese, who was a tough interview. Tough interview. Bob Cortese took no crap off anybody.
No.
And it was so, for me, all these guys that as a kid, seeing them coach these teams at Mesa, now all of a sudden, okay, I'm there and I'm interviewing them. And the challenge that was for me as a young broadcaster, to go, wow, got to get over, you know, a little bit of being local starstruck with all these guys that were coaching at the college level. And really, really thrilled for Byron that he's going into the Hall of Fame. Deserves that greatly, along with former Maverick pitcher Joe White. All right, 9:25. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have our picks coming up, our pigskin picks. I believe we got the Pope.
He is.
Pope's on hold. So now we're not going to have the randos come on. They're just sending their picks in, correct?
They have submitted most of them. The only ones I'm missing, and I have alerted some of them already. I need Ron's, Paul's, Max's, and Ed's and Eric's. But everyone else has submitted theirs. So I know.
Are they still going to be able to do it after the show?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about the ones that have been at least submitted.
I have set a hard deadline, 5 p.m. today is when I got to get them in. So,
speaking of taskmasters, tough guys, that's you.
That's me.
Unyielding, rigid. It's 5 o'clock. Cutoff time.
That's it.
You're done. All right, 9:26. We'll take a break. We'll come back with our picks. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
All right, welcome in. Jim and Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trust name in automobiles off Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Back with you on Tuesday. And, of course, we'll have all the action of Grande Wild Card Weekend. Grande. Starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow with the Raiders and Cincinnati. And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, it's His Eminence, the Pope. Good morning, Pope. How are you?
What it is, that was an awesome interview with Byron Weehee. Loved it, man. That's some serious memory lane. I remember coming into Junction back in the late 70s and meeting Sam Saplesio, Buzz Bergman, and all those guys he talked about. I met those guys when I came on campus down at Mesa. So that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, I thought if you had the chance to hear that, that would speak to you. Yeah, because that was your time. When you started over at Mesa, those guys were all there.
Yeah. And when I was coaching there after being a player and then becoming a coach, a lot of those guys reached out to me and helped me to make it in the coaching part of that. So, yeah, it was cool, man.
Well, I enjoyed that. I interviewed Byron numerous times when he was there and learned a lot from him and those other coaches about what you say and what you don't say to coaches.
Yes.
And you're right. Cortez is a rough interview.
Ooh. He might have been the most difficult person to interview that I've ever interviewed.
Try being on the coaching staff with him, buddy, when you're in the film right. room.
Now, I will say this one. I'm sure that was just a real walk in the park, a picnic.
It was good.
When I interviewed him, years and years later, about some of the things he was doing and when he was coaching in the Arena Football League and stuff like that, it was a whole different thing. It was a much different Bob Cortez.
He'd mellowed out a bit.
And because he was doing sports talk at that time, too.
Right.
Yeah, so he was actually doing radio at that time. So he kind of got, into the dark arts, got into our side of the business, and I think had a different appreciation for it. But as a young college student at then Mesa College, I tell you what, I go there, oh geez, I gotta interview him, and I can always tell when he was he always seemed like he was in a bad mood, right, Petey? Bob was always in a bad mood. But you can tell when he was in a really bad mood. And those are the days it seemed like I usually caught him. I gotta talk to the stupid punk college kid. Great. That's 15 minutes I'm never going to get back that I could be prepping for a game. All right. So once again, go through how we're going to do this with the NBC Grand Randos.
So the NBC Grand Randos, all 16 of them are in a Thunderdome tournament, single elimination bracket. And each week we'll whittle it down until we get to the final two for Super Bowl weekend, and I believe we have discussed a possible on-show appearance for that matchup. But
so I think that's going to be mandatory. They're going to have to be on the show.
They're going to have to.
They're going to have no choice. They're going to have to be on the show.
So the bracket is, we have our matchups. Ron is going to go up against Paul, number one seed versus number 16 seed, because Paul went 2-4 last week, and he was the last one to appear, so that's how the seeding worked. Carmen plays Tom. Tracy will take on Ty Morgan. Libby and Greg are going head-to-head. JJ versus Max. Lena versus Nate. The two Steelers fans in our building, Chris and Nikki, will go up against each other. And Ed and Eric on K-Star will be our final matchup. So
okay.
I have almost all the picks in from everybody except the ones I mentioned earlier. So we're going to hunt them down.
We'll berate them when I get off the show.
Yes.
Well, they'll be berated.
Yes.
Harangued.
As far as what we're doing, we're just going normal ebb and flow. Jim, you and Petey both had the best record, which is not saying much because it was 3-3. Love the crowd work there, Petey.
Is that the all crowd, right, or did you spring a leak? I mean, what was
no, that was the crowd.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
So Jim and Petey at 3-3, Rio and Paul last week 2-4. The standings are Jim and the collective, the Borg, if you will.
Like 16 of them.
All 16 of them are at the top, 54-47 overall, and then Rio and Petey are right behind at 53-49 each. So it's
you guys are in the hunt, man. You're right there.
You're in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado.
Oh, by the way, first for last week, for you and me, Petey.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What is best in life?
Yes.
Crush your enemies.
Do
them driven before you.
It's doing. It's happening.
Hear the lamentation of your women.
All right, here we go. Okay.
That is
so
good.
Congratulations to us. Yay me and yay you. For
yes,
a job
sir.
Mediocrely done, if that's really a word. Okay, so we're ready to do it?
We're ready.
Okay.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
An all wild card round, or
Grande wild card weekend.
Round, edition of Pile Pigskin Picks. Starting things out, the first game, Raiders at the Bengals. Cincinnati, a 4.5-point favorite when I wrote this up. Some of these lines may have changed. Rio is taking the Bengals. If you asked me, I would also take the Bengals.
What say you,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, reluctantly, I will take the Bengals. I have a grind with the Bengals because they ran it up on my boys when they played them, but that's okay. But as far as in the standings, I'm going to take the Bengals. I think they will beat the Raiders at home.
Boy, I have this temptation to go Raiders. I do. But I'm going to resist that temptation because I still hate the Raiders. I don't care if they're in Vegas or not. That would seem like there's this little bit of a Team of Destiny thing with everything that's gone on them. But I'm going to take the Bengals.
I was going to say, don't do it, man.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
Don't do it, man.
don't do it. Step back in that ledge.
All right, next. Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, a 4-point favorite. Rio's taking the Bills. I believe I submitted on our official website. I believe I took the Bills in this one as well. Petey, what say you?
This is a tough one, man.
This is.
I'm just going to take the Bills because they're at home. The Patriots have been playing pretty good ball the last month or so, but I'm picking them. I'm in the hunt, so I'm going to go with the Bills.
I'm going to go for our friend Buffalo Mark, the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
For you, Buffalo.
There you
or
go.
Or Bamalo.
Make Mark happy.
Yeah, he needs something after...
After Bama's loss.
After Bama losing to Georgia. So.
All right, next. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa, I saw 8.5. I think you saw 9.5-point favorites. Jim, either way. Tampa heavily favored in this one. Rio taking the Buccaneers. I believe I am also taking the Buccaneers on our official website.
No way the Bucs lose this game, man.
No way?
No way the Bucs lose this game. No way. Tampa.
Eagles running game tempts me to say Eagles. Once again, I'm going to be there. That. But it's TV.
Dude,
it's
Tom Brady.
I'm not sure
okay
to say. That's where I was going, my friend.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, give me Tom Brady in the playoffs.
TB12 in the playoffs. Give me the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Fire the cannons!
Fire up the cannons. Good old Raymond James. All right.
Matey.
The first of the Sunday slates... The second one of the Sunday slate. 49ers at the Cowboys. Dallas, a three-point home favorite. Rio is taking the Cowboys. I believe I picked the 49ers on our website. This is a close one. This could be interesting.
The Cowboys are playing some really good football right now, so I am going to go with the Cowboys at home.
Jimmy G, bad thumb, played well last week, though. Played well enough for them to win. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, though, at home. I agree with you. Cowboys at AT&T. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? All right. This one could be either a total bloodbath or a not quite so. Maybe like a paper cut.
Like a leech? Like a leech, a little blood, like a
little
paper
leech.
Cut?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Paper cut, a little bloodletting?
Steelers at Kansas City in Arrowhead. Chiefs are a 12.5-point favorites to win this one. Rio's taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs. Petey, what say you?
What do you call that, Jim? Curb stomp?
Curb
is
stomp.
That what that's called, man?
Yeah, it's curb stomp.
Yeah, that's curb stomp right there. That's what's going to happen on that one.
Trucked, boat raced, slobber knocked.
Boat race. There you go. Any added you want to put in there,
wood
buddy?
Wood shedded.
Taken out back.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one.
Yeah. With all apologies to Big Ben, and I've seen the meme that says, it's got the Chiefs logo, and it says, you're invited to Ben Roethlisberger's retirement party Sunday at Kansas City.
But I'll say this about Ben. I like the approach he's taken. Hey, you know what?
Got nothing to
lose. We got nothing to lose here. We're the worst team in this playoffs. This could be his last game. Let's let it fly, baby. It's not going to be enough. It'll be the Chiefs.
No. All right. Last one on Monday. NFC West Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. Both of these teams at one point were picked to be Super Bowl contenders. They're going to duke it out in the wild card round. Rams are a 3.5-point home favorite. Rio's taking the Rams. I'm taking the Rams. Petey, what say you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Rams, too. If you look at the trend, the way the Cardinals have been playing and look at the trend that the Rams have been playing, I like the Rams at home in this one.
I like the Rams, too. All right, so Grande Wild Card Weekend. I'm sorry. Grande. Got to roll the R's. Grande Wild Card Weekend.
Because it just sounds better than Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, we decided, that Super Wild Card Weekend is kind of lame, so we're going Grande. 2 o'clock tomorrow. Of course, it'll start out with the Raiders and the Bengals game, and you can hear all the action, 10:30, Eagles and the Buccaneers on Sunday, and then 5:30 for that Rams and Arizona game on Martin Luther King Day. All your playoff action, Grande Wild Card Weekend right here on the team. Petey, enjoy the weekend.
Jim, I got something special for you, buddy.
Okay, man, what is it? Lay it on me.
Me and the Mrs. are getting ready to take off for our 40th wedding anniversary weekend.
Yes.
40 years.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
We are turning 65 in April, and we've been together since the 10th grade in high school, dude.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Sir. Yeah. So we're looking to have a really nice weekend, man. It's going to be cool.
All right. Well, enjoy your anniversary weekend. And I tell you what, kudos to the missus, for...
Right on. For putting up with the dude, man, all this time.
Same can be said about Kenda as well. So,
all right, boss. Y'all have a good weekend now.
Hey, take care. Thanks, Petey.
All right. Later.
All right. There he goes. Disappears in a puff of smoke.
Off he goes in his boatmobile.
To celebrate
40 years.
40 years.
And he said it, having known the missus since 10th grade of high school.
Back in Baltimore.
That is a long time.
That is a very long time.
That's kudos. Major kudos.
See, we'll be married in June, 33 years.
Wow.
We met in college. We didn't start dating in 10th grade or anything,
but
met in college. And yeah, it'll be, I know the other day we're like, wow, 33 years.
Let's see. I think this year will be my parents' 34th.
Oh.
June 25th, 1988.
Yeah, I just don't know how Kenda's put up with me for that long, to be quite honest. I really don't. Because if I was married to me, I'm like, I could do better.
What are you doing?
I'll be honest, I could do way better.
What are you doing? Clean it up.
Yeah, come on, man. Get your act together.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. So congratulations, though, to Petey and his wife. All right, 942. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Let's get to this day in sports history. 1954. This is the day that Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe got married.
Really?
After just 274 days, Marilyn Monroe filed for divorce.
Yeah.
But DiMaggio continued to pine for her through the early 60s. He did start to see her again. There was some talk they might remarry. DiMaggio was concerned over the people that she was around. Not long after that's when she died from the drug overdose.
Hey.
So, and DiMaggio always thought that the Kennedy brothers had set up her death because it was ruled a suicide, but there's always been debate about whether or not it was a suicide. He blamed the Kennedys for her death. All right, on this day, 1968, Packers win back-to-back Super Bowls. Green Bay beat the Raiders 33-14 to win the second Super Bowl. For the second straight year, Bart Starr won the game's MVP, threw a touchdown, and threw for 202 yards. And kind of the highlight of that game was, and you've seen the video many, many times, of the Packers lifting up Vince Lombardi
right,
and carrying him to the locker room. On this day, 1973, Miami ends the season 17-0. They beat Washington to go undefeated to win the Super Bowl. All right, 944. Jim along with Cake. And so
I have good news.
Is the text line working now?
RJ and Delta has sent in a text that has come through. So I think the text line is now working. So if we want to try one more time, I think we can get it.
Okay, well, let's read RJ's really quick. Jim, with 7 head coaching openings, possibly 8 with the Raiders, I think the Broncos have a good chance of getting Quinn or Hackett if they act quickly. That could be the case, RJ.
Could be.
Well, his Giants are looking for a new coach, too. All right, so you want to go ahead and let's just restart the whole thing.
We will absolutely.
Start from scratch.
Where in the world is. Where in the world is. Garden Tyler Franson.
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
You cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
All right, for real this time, your chance to win a case of New Belgium from High Country Beverage. Tyler Franson this week finds himself at this college basketball and hockey arena that was named Westword Magazine's best new sports venue 22 years ago. But still, where in the world is Tyler Franson?
All right, first correct answer wins. That case of, Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery, I believe.
I believe so.
All right, so text in right now. Text in only, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back, 949. Jim along with Cake today. Pyle, my faith has been restored.
Our text line has been restored.
It was a technical problem. It wasn't you. And I shouldn't have lashed out at you the way I did, saying your effort was pathetic today. Little do we know that the text line was letting us down. Come on. Come on, Zip Whip. Come on.
We are getting a new texting system at some point.
Yes.
We'll keep you updated on that.
We are hoping to keep the same number.
We are crossing our fingers.
Yeah, that may change, but we are getting a new texting system. So I'm sure it'll be wonderful. It's always an adventure. It's technology. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
So do we have a winner?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Now, my wife was texting in. Kendra was texting in. And she had some great guesses. She had Pepsi Center.
Nope.
She had also CU Events Center.
Nope.
Those are not bad guesses.
Not bad. They were close.
She's also honey, you know you're not eligible to win, right? You just can't win.
I could get you fat tire on my own.
It's like, yeah, I'd have to. I'll be glad to buy you some. But she's trying to help us out though with some.
Thank you, Kenda. Appreciate it.
But we have a winner though.
Bruce, our winner today. Bruce, correctly answering Magnus Arena for DU, named 2000's best new sports venue from Westword Magazine, which is based in Denver. And I can't think of many new sports venues that were around in 2000 except for Magnus. And because Invesco was, what, 2001?
It would have been right around that time, yeah.
So,
but then the hockey part of it,
that
takes
was probably
out
the giveaway.
But yeah, there that would have been right around that same time.
So,
see, the only time I've never been to a hockey game at Magnus, we did RMAC tournament basketball when they played. It was funky. They played the tournament at Magnus Arena.
Huh.
And then Greg and I went over there to do Maverick basketball and did games there on the DU campus. So got to see it, walked by it, looked inside. It's a really nice arena. But we did not get to call games in there. We got to call in the... It wasn't even like the main gym.
Oh.
It wasn't like where the Pioneers play. It was...
The auxiliary or something? Kind of
like, it was a nice auxiliary gym, but if I remember correctly, it was not their main arena where they play. It was where they had the RMAC tournament. All right, let's see. Got a text from Robert. We'll get to that very quickly. He asked if you're in Long Beach. No.
Nope.
Matt LaFleur's brother for the Broncos' new head coach. He keeps beating the drum on that one with Mike LaFleur. And finally, thank the Lord, I should say, super duper big whopping grande Wild Canyon weekend is here. Not just enough adjectives to describe the weekend.
There you go.
Thank you. Let's see. From David, can you explain some Ricky Ricardo there? Have you seen Being the Ricardos?
Mm-mm.
Really good. Javier Bardem is excellent.
Really? I've heard he's been getting kind of panned for that.
I thought he was really good. And I thought Nicole Kidman, who sometimes loses her, the Australian accent starts to kick in,
mm-hmm.
was really good as Lucille Ball. But anyway, can you explain what fully funded means? Scholarships, bus trips. Kids have to buy their own shoes. By the way, can't listen until 8:45. Okay, so Dave, this is good time.
Good time.
36 scholarships, that's fully funded in Division II. 36 full-ride scholarships.
Yes.
And Mesa...
I think it would, 20?
Yeah, I think they're like 20, low 20s, I believe, is the number for that. So they're... And look, their goal is to not... They don't feel like they can get all the way to 36, but if they can get to 28 in that neighborhood,
right?
They can get 10, 10 more scholarships would be huge, huge for the football team. All right. So 9:54. I think you got time. We probably both can work one in here really quickly for garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, you go first.
Did you guys talk at all the other day about Bart Scott and medical advice?
Yes, I did. Played the clip about suggesting Josh Allen take Viagra to keep himself warm. Coming up for that playoff game with the Pats.
Not the only thing.
Yeah. He really likes playing football. Look how excited he is.
So wrong. Real quick, Vikings have requested to interview Eagles VP of Football Ops, Catherine Raich, for their GM job. She is believed to be the most senior ranking team personnel for a woman in pro football. So I think she should get that job.
That'll be cool. Interesting. Nikola Jokic, responding to comments made by his coach about him not being sexy. That there's been talk this week in response to Michael Malone's assertion that Jokic is one of the more disrespected MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Malone gave reporters a good laugh in his pregame comments. He said that Nikola Jokic may be one of the most disrespected MVPs. When asked why, he said, Nikola Jokic is not sexy. His wife might disagree, but if you're a true student of the game, you appreciate it. But Nikola Jokic responding to his coach's line, saying, he's not lying.
I love Nikola.
If they don't respect me, I like it. If they respect me, I like it. All right, that's our show. Back with you on Tuesday. Rome's up next.